Titus chapter 2. I hope to finish this. Spend some time on this last verse in our text today. Good to see Kate Ketchum's dad here today. God bless you. Thank you for being here in our service. Give him a warm welcome to Crossroads. We're glad you're here. Some other visitors that are scattered here, we welcome you. We don't want to think you're not important. We're so glad that you're here with us at Crossroads Baptist Church. Here's been our theme this year in Titus chapter 2. Verse number 11, For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Let the church say amen. Father, we pray that you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. As your vessel today, I pray that you'll cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me be a blessing to these thy people. We thank you for the goodness of God and the land of the living. And Lord, how good you've been to us. I pray, God, that you would convict us, motivate us, and stir us to be as good to you as you are to us. Thank you for being such a great and wonderful God. I pray, God, that you bless now the preaching of the word of God. I pray if there be anybody in the building that doesn't know Christ as Savior, that you'd bring that person to a saving knowledge of the truth. We bless your holy name. We ask that you take control of this service in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I have a chair up here, and I don't want you to get nervous, but by the halfway through the service, I'm leaning on this pulpit because this chest is pulling down on me. So my rehab therapist and my wife, both strong-willed women, told me to put a chair up here. I fought it. So if I sit down a little bit, don't think I'm passing out. I'm just kind of conking down a little bit. Can you still see me? I know y'all think somebody's going to look on and say, what? COVID made them lose some height too. But anyway, and so I'll stand up when I feel like it, but sit down. And this weather makes it feel a little bit tighter too. But nonetheless, we're going to get the word out. Amen. And we thank the Lord for it. Looking for that blessed hope. You know, we're talking about Jesus, right? We're not talking about looking for the president or looking for a politician. We're talking about looking for that blessed hope. He is coming again. You believe that? Say amen. And so as Paul challenged Titus, this young pastor who was pastoring on the island of Crete, he was teaching this man to not just preach on duty, but to preach doctrine, to not just preach on behavior, but to preach belief, to not just preach on practice, but to preach principles. Aren't you glad that if we believe right, come on now, we can behave right? And so he challenged us here in this passage of scripture. Look again at verse number 11. For the grace of God. Now this is a supernatural principle. How many of you know that grace has to come from God? You can't produce your own grace. The grace of God. I'm glad that when I couldn't save myself, that grace made the difference. And grace came and found me, this supernatural grace. It's an interpretive statement. It shows us that it touches our heart and reflects in our life. It's an infinite source. It comes from God. It imparts salvation. It's an inclusive supply. It's to all men. And it's instructive sanctification. How many know that same grace that saves you teaches you to deny ungodliness and worldly lust? Teaches you to live soberly. Somebody say amen. And righteously and godly in this present world. You're going to be a Christian. You got to be a Christian when people aren't Christian. You got to do right when people do wrong. You got to be pure when they're impure. Come on, young people. You got to say no to sex and drugs when everybody else is saying yes. In this present world. And then last week we looked at the sovereign purpose. Jesus, that one that's told, that we're told is coming. Verse number 13. He gave himself for us. Everybody say for us. Say it again. For us. He didn't die so he could get a publicity stunt. He didn't die so he could get his name in a book. You know, there are a lot of people doing stuff to be famous. Jesus didn't die to be famous. He created the world. He died for us. I'd like to praise God that he died for me. He died. His loving sacrifice was for lost sinners. His Calvary performance gives us a costly purchase that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Aren't you glad that he not only came bringing salvation, but he came buying sinners from the slave market of sin? Aren't you glad he redeemed you? That's what Matthew was playing about today. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. When's the last time you told somebody you redeemed? We're so busy bragging about our team and our politics. Listen, why don't you brag about the fact you once was lost and you're now found? You once were blind, you now can see. And Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. Aren't you glad you've been redeemed from all iniquity and purifying to himself? We're a cleansed possession. Purifying to himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works, and a channeled passion. Last week we talked about zeal. It's a burning emotion. It's a boiling passion, zealous. It's an eagerness. It's an enthusiasm. Zeal is not what's lacking in our world. It's zealous unto good works. How much zeal did you have for good works this week? How burning were you to do right? How enthusiastic were you about loving God? How burdened were you about for standing for truth? Listen, zealous unto good works. Listen to me. I want energy. I want energy to do right. I don't just want energy. I want energy to do right. Not just energy to go to work. Not just energy to sing. Not just energy to work out. Not just energy to do the things I love. How about energy to do right? Amen. Zealous unto good works. Lastly today, I want to give us, beyond this supernatural principle, this sovereign purpose, a specified practice. Look at verse number 15. This is the verse that's rarely preached on in this passage. It's kind of like leftovers. It's kind of like the part that's not very exciting. It's kind of like the addendum that Paul just put in to close the passage. Could I tell you, verse 15 is just as important as all the other verses. Now read with me the first two words in verse 15. Say them with me. Ready? Begin. Say it again. Okay, specified practice. If you're taking notes today, write down the particular content. These things. Now, what are these things? What we just talked about. The grace of God. What are these things that God brings salvation? What are these things that salvation has appeared to all men? What are these things that grace teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust? What are these things that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world? Now look at what Pastor Paul is saying to Pastor Titus about how he should pastor the church in Crete. He said, look here, young man. While you're in the business of talking about everything that everybody wants to hear, you better make sure, Titus, you don't quit talking about these things. And you know, there are a lot of books out there on how to pastor, aren't they? I don't think I'm going to stand up on this part. A lot of books out there about how to pastor. And a lot of people with input on how to pastor. And a lot of pastors coming up with new ways on how to pastor. And I'm not a pastor that's figured it all out. But I'll tell you one thing I have figured out. I better make sure I keep talking about these things. We have churches that have abandoned the grace of God. Years ago, somebody left Crossroads Baptist Church and said, they just preach on salvation too much. Yeah, that's because we got to keep talking about these things. What a travesty to be a member of a church for years and never hear how to be saved. Oh, pastor, well, you know, that doesn't happen. Are you kidding me? I do funerals all the time with people that attend church every single week. And they don't know how to get saved. Some of them are leaders in their churches. Some of them are pillars in their churches. Some of them are pastors of churches. And they've never known how to be saved. Why? Because those churches have stopped preaching on these things. Listen to me, folks. We can't quit telling people that the grace of God brings salvation. We can't start telling people that only some people can get saved. We can't start telling people that Jesus only died for a certain amount of people. We can't start telling people that soul winning doesn't matter because he's going to save whoever he wants to save. And by the way, he is going to save who he wants to save. But bless God, he also said anybody that wants to get saved can get saved. The will of God, listen to me, the superlative will of God is not causative to deny man's own will to be saved. Here's what I'm saying. Nothing that God knows before you get saved will disallow you to get saved if you want to get saved. Do you understand what I'm saying? When we talk about the elect and we talk about God's predestination, by the way, which happens after you get saved, and we talk about all those that God has elected to salvation, please understand that God is not causing some to be saved and some not to be saved, some to go to heaven and some to go to hell. Here's what God is saying. He foreknew all who would get saved while at the same time making it available to all that could get saved. And the superlative wisdom and the supernatural will of God combines with my will. And thank God that you can reconcile Romans chapter 9 and 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in the same Bible. God can know everything without stopping people to get saved. And I'm glad he knew I'd get saved. He convicted me to get saved. He had the Holy Spirit draw me to salvation. The Holy Spirit regenerated me when I got saved. And I'm glad that he not only knew it, but he saw it. He enabled it. And by the grace of God, I'm saved. Now, watch this now. Prescribed communication. These things speak. This is what I call instructional address. Speak them, Titus. By the way, you can't speak just about verse 11 if you're not going to speak about verse 12. Did anybody hear me? See, some churches want to preach salvation, but they don't preach sanctification. You can't tell somebody to be in Christ if he can still act like he's in Adam. So the next time somebody say, well, why we keep preaching on holiness and keep preaching on modesty and keep preaching on righteousness? Because Paul told Titus these things. So we have to have standards. Nobody believe that? We have to have standards. Why we need standards? Because your wretched flesh and my wretched flesh will not stay where it belongs unless it has boundaries. Could you imagine playing basketball with no out-of-bounds line, Brother Dunn? Could you imagine driving on the highway with no speed limit? You say people still speed. Imagine if they didn't have a limit. Do you really think a speed limit will keep sinful men from ever speeding? No, but it'll make them think twice about what they do. And Ecclesiastes says, when sentence is executed upon them, when they do mess up, the heart of man, listen to me, when somebody gets in trouble for speed, listen, you see somebody pulled aside on the side of the road getting a ticket from a cop, and watch your blessed assurance slow down. These things, speak them. You get spanked by your parent for something, and watch your brothers and sisters think twice before they do it. Instructional address. These things teach. Everybody say teach. These things exhort. Everybody say exhort. Now, you not only need instructional address, but you need inspirational appeal. The exhortation is the appeal to folks to encourage them. Should the pastor encourage people to be sanctified? Should he? I mean, do you want to come to a church where the pastor doesn't encourage you to be holy? Do you want to come to a church where you look around at people and they're not holy? I pray to God when people come across those Baptist churches, they look around and go, there's some holy people in here. I reckon I might be holy. And maybe if I'm not holy every other day, I'm going to look to be holy today. Inspirational appeal. Should we not exhort our young people to live soberly and righteously and godly? Should we not exhort our ladies to live soberly, righteously, and godly? Here's another word. Rebuke. Is that in there? Y'all look at verse 15 in the King James? Inspirational appeal, instructional address. Here's what I have: rebuke, incumbent admonition. To rebuke somebody is put them in place. So sometimes you have to come to church and listen to a message from the pastor, inspired by God, that tells you, you ain't being as sanctified as you should be. I'm not being as sanctified. Listen, do you have trouble with rebuke? Then you have trouble with grace. Now listen to me. Who enjoys being rebuked? Hebrews chapter 12. No chastening for the present time seemeth joyous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them which are exercised. Whoever enjoyed spankings? If you enjoyed spankings, you should have gotten beat by Jeanette Baldwin. Then you wouldn't have enjoyed it. You'd put up with it if her husband did it. But if she did it, good gracious alive, it's the worst experience in all of the world. You'd rather go to dentist and get a root canal with no Novocaine than to get beat by that classy woman. But it made me think twice before I did it again. Listen, there's stuff that I don't do today because I got spanked 20 years ago. 30 years ago. I don't know. I can't remember what it was. It's so bad, it feels like it was yesterday. Rebuke. With all authority, in intentional authority. Watch this now. Titus, don't be scared when you tell God's people the truth. Do you think it's easy for a pastor to rebuke the people? Do you know it would be easy for me to just preach fluff and stuff every Sunday? How much, I tell you what, pastors get up there and they just throw down the smackdown. Do you know how much easier it'd be for me just to Joel Osteen you? Just smile at you and tell you, come on, go out there and live in homosexuality and cuss and drink and smoke and chew and run with everybody that does and just come up here and say, we love you. And we're just glad you're here. And God just loves you. No. He does love you, but he loves you too much to let you be bad, like my mom used to say. Rebuke. And do it with authority. And then the last statement. Let no man despise thee. Prohibited conclusion. Unimpeachable consistency and unwavering conviction. The word despise is to belittle. Here's what Paul says to Titus. Don't let anybody belittle you for teaching the truth. And there are two ways that Titus had to live to stop that from happening. One was unimpeachable consistency. Here's how a pastor can be belittled for preaching the truth: by not living it. So I get up here and preach on purity and I'm living impure. I get up here and scream at you on Sundays and I live like the devil on Monday. So then you get to despise me. In other words, that truth you preach isn't that big of a deal because you don't even live it. Unimpeachable consistency and then unwavering conviction. I've got to keep living it, but conviction means I got to keep believing it. What's up with these people and preachers that start coming out with saying they don't believe what they used to believe? God help us. Well, I'm going to quit. But let's pray that God helps us in this area to give us the grace. Father, we love you and thank you for being a good and a gracious God. And looking beyond our faults and seeing our need. Now help us, Lord, as we seek to live for you. All over the building. Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. Would you raise your hand? Put your hand down. Pastor, I'm going to admit as a church member, whether at Crossroads or somewhere else. I need this teaching. I need this exhortation. I need this rebuke. And I'm thankful to be in a place where I get it. I'm not going to despise you for doing it, Pastor. And by the way, I'm not only going to live it, I'm going to tell other people about it too. Would you raise your hand all over the building? Put your hand down. And then one more question. How many say, Pastor, I'm not 100% sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I don't want to go to hell. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Thank you. Ma'am, God bless you. Anyone else? I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I don't want to go to hell. God bless you. Jesus gave himself for you. Right where you are in your seat right now. If you're willing to believe he died for you, was buried and rose again, the Bible says he'll save you. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you'd like to get saved right now, I'd like to lead you through the sinner's prayer. You don't have to get up. You don't have to do anything. You just have to believe the Bible. I shouldn't have to convince you you're a sinner. We're all born sinners, separated from God. Mama never had to teach you how to do wrong. You do it because it's in you. And your sin separates you from God. But Jesus died so you don't have to stay a sinner. You bow your head right where you are and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner and that you're sinless and that I cannot get back to you with my sin. But I believe Jesus died for me, was buried, and rose again. Please forgive me of my sin and come into my heart and save me. As best as I know how, I'm putting my faith and trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Save my soul. Become my shepherd in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, anybody in the building today, and you meant it, you say, Pastor, I prayed that and I meant it, and I'm not ashamed. Nobody's looking around but me and our leaders. If you'd raise your hand, I'd just like to rejoice with you. Anybody like that? Pastor, I prayed that prayer. Would you slip your hand up? Anybody like that? Just long enough for me to see your hand. Anybody like that? Anybody at all? If you're here today and you have any questions about salvation, would you stop by and see someone? Or would you call back into the church office this week and let us help you? We don't want you to die and go to hell. God sent his son so you don't have to. Lord, bless every decision that was made. May you have been magnified and glorified. And I pray, God, that you'd help us this week to please you in all that we say or do. In Jesus' name and for his sake.